Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467369.
Hi everyone, Tim Kitzer here from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz, and you're listening to Growing Up the Same with Trayvon Edwards and Jason Madison. Ooh, boom shakalaka. And now here's your starting lineup. Trayvon Edwards, Jason Madison. Ooh, boom shakalaka.
Today we have a special guest. We have David Aldridge. How you doing, David?
Man, I'm doing good, guys. Thank you for having me. Always like talking to the next generation, you know.
David Aldridge is a writer for The Athletic and the editor-in-chief of the D.C. Bureau. In 2016, he was awarded the Kurt Gowdy Media Award by the Basketball Hall of Fame.
And now it's time for the one or the two with Jay Skills.
As a broadcaster, Jeff Van Gundy or Reggie Miller?
Which one do I prefer?
Yeah.
That's a tough one. I'll probably say Jeff, just because Jeff says crazy stuff. You know, like he'll say something crazy to just to get people riled up a little bit. So
sure.
I'll say Jeff.
A tropical vacation or a European vacation?
Oh, European. I'm a city kid, man. I need concrete and sirens, man. You know.
Agent Zero or Earl the Pearl?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. See, I didn't see Pearl in his prime. What people tell me is that you wouldn't believe how good he was. Like, he was incredible. I saw Zero in his prime, and he was incredible, unbelievable. Yeah. I'm gonna go with Pearl, with the caveat that I did not see him live. I wish I had seen him live. By the time I got to see him, he was pretty much done with his career. You know, he was at the end.
Right, Joe Theismann or Doug Williams?
Oh, Doug for the historical, yeah.
Yeah, Dream Team or Redeem Team?
Oh, the Dream Team is not close. Come on, it's not close. I covered the Dream Team. It's not close.
The Redskins or the football team?
The football team. We gotta stop, you know, saying dumb stuff that hurts people for no good reason, just because that's what we like doing. You know what I mean? Like, I grew up in D.C. I had all the, I guess I've said this many times, nobody's going to out football team me. You know what I'm saying? I had all the gear, had the poncho, had the lunchbox, had the hats, had the gloves, had everything, was a diehard fan from the time I was 6 years old. But it's time to change the name. That's it. It's time to change the name. Now, it shouldn't be Washington football team. They'll hopefully come up with something else. But in the interim, we'll go with that.
Bullets or Wizards?
Bullets. Bullets. Yeah. No. I mean, I get why Abe Pullen, and I think it was legit. I think he honestly wanted to change it at the time. But, you know, Bullets does not have to necessarily connote violence. It can also connote speed, quickness, those sorts of things. So
exactly. The District or Chocolate City?
The district. It's not Chocolate City anymore, fellas. I wish it were. That city's gone, man. That's in the history books now.
Ted Turner or Rupert Murdoch?
Oh, Ted Turner. That's not even close. Ted Turner. Yeah, I mean, Ted Turner is a humanitarian, giving millions of dollars to people that need it for different things, for different endeavors, different charities. Yeah, it's not close.
Christmas game or Easter game?
What Easter games are there?
Well, I don't know if there are many games played on Easter, but
I would say Christmas or All Star.
But it's always a playoff time during
Easter. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Okay,
I mean it's kind of closing out, but like for April, it's kind of like guys are getting rested.
I probably say Christmas. Yeah.
Doc Rivers or Ty Lue?
Ooh, damn. Doc, well, Ty's got a chip now. He's got a chip too. So, that's a good question. I don't know. That's a good question. I'll go with Doc just because he's been doing it longer. That's right. The only reason.
Right. Phil Jackson or Pat Riley?
Well, I'm going to go with Phil because Riles was a great coach. Don't get me wrong. He was great. Hall of Fame great. But it's everybody thinks it's easy to coach superstars. It's actually very hard to coach superstars. it's really hard because you're not just coaching them. You're coaching the other 8 or 9 guys on your team who aren't superstars, who are pissed off that the superstars get all the touches. You know what I mean? You got to coach that team, and you got to get something out of those other guys. And Phil did it multiple times with superstars at the top. I'm not saying he never had them, but getting Shaq and Kobe to 3 chips, he did some good coaching in those years.
Patrick Ewing or Alonzo Mourning?
Patrick, I think body of work. If you're looking at the whole body of work, including college, which I do, Patrick won a national championship. He was in 3 national championship games in 4 years. Now, the last guy that I think did that was Walton or Kareem, I'd go with Patrick.
Raymond Lewis or Pee Wee Kirkland?
Pee Wee. Good call. Good question, though.
Toni Morrison or Maya Angelou?
Ooh, good one. Maya Angelou.
Different world or living single?
I will say a different world because I don't think living single was made for me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's okay. It's fine. But I don't think that show was made for me.
Yeah. Coming to America or Purple Rain?
Here's the funny thing about Purple Rain. I'm old enough to have actually seen Purple Rain in the theater. I remember vividly going to the theater with a friend to see it and thinking, oh man, this is the greatest movie of all time. Buzz, concert film, blah, blah, blah. It was unbelievable. He was unbelievable. You get caught up in it. And then like 2 years later, I saw it on TV and I went, this movie sucks.
It didn't hold up.
Terrible movie. What was I thinking? No, Coming to America is a great film. It's one of the all time great films.
Stephen King or Hunter S. Thompson?
I would say Stephen King. I never got into Hunter S. Thompson. That's just me. I've read a couple of his things. And again, I don't think those were written with me in mind. Whereas right. Stephen King writes, he has a genre that everybody can read and get scared by. And I did. So it's more accessible, I think.
Scrabble or Monopoly?
Monopoly.
World Series or Super Bowl?
Good question. I'd probably go World Series just because the Super Bowl has gotten it's so commercialized, and it just, I don't know, there's something about the NFL and what it does that is kind of off-putting to me right now. So I'll go World Series.
I get that. NBA on NBC in the 90s or NBA on TNT in 2000?
Oh, come on, y'all. I worked with TNT for 14 years. What do you think I'm going to say? TNT, of course.
Of course, right?
on the roulette table, red or black?
Red. Red's my favorite color. Well, red and green are my favorite colors. So.
And then my last question, would you prefer to write a great article or have a great article written about you?
Oh, right. That's how I express myself. That's I don't know what I would do if I couldn't write. I just don't know what I would do. I would shrivel up and die probably. That's what I am comfortable doing. It's what I feel most confident about doing in terms of letting people know what I think about whatever it is I'm writing about. Yeah, writing.
All right. Well, that was the one of the two. Thank you.
There you go. Good questions, man. That was excellent. Good for you. That was really good.
Squeaky doors, clogged sinks, finicky engines. When things break around the house, you take care of it. However, when something's off in the bedroom, you just try not to think about it. Come on, man. What are you waiting for? That's a problem that needs to be fixed. So take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/BOM now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. And if medication is appropriate, it ships you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/BOM and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/BOM right now, and you'll get $15 off your first month. It's really time to take care of your ED. Remember, get started today. You'll save $15 on your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/BOM.
Yeah, every week Jason brings it. I mean, he always catches somebody on the back foot, and they're like, yo,
yeah, you know, like, good. Yeah, that was so good. Yeah. No, you made me think on a few of those. That was good. Yeah.
So first and foremost, before I get started, I want to say thank you for, you know, doing what you're doing. I know you don't like the credit like that, but for sure, man.
Oh, I don't mind the credit. I just don't seek it. That's all.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Just more sort of representation, though. Like, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Thank
like
you.
As far as, you know, transitioning into the career and actually seeing someone that looks like me.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You know, finding my way. So you definitely have helped.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. I mean, I had people, whatever I do for you, people did for me. You know what I mean? And I always try to make sure that people understand. You know, Ralph Wiley and Brian Burwell and people like that, Mike mm-hmm. Wilbon, were guys that when I was your age coming up and I saw them on TV, I went, wow, okay, maybe I could do that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's not front of mind, but you don't eliminate it. And that's so empowering when you're a young person, you know. Yeah. And I grew up in D.C. Growing up in D.C., the benefit we had was there were so many black people on local TV in DC in the 70s and 80s, you know, on all the channels, Jim Vance and Maureen Bunyan and J.C. Hayward and Bruce Johnson and Bob Strickland and Angela Owens. I could go on and on and on. And so every night I would turn on the TV and see somebody that looked like me on the TV. And I know that's not how most young black people had it back in the 70s and 80s. I know that.
Yeah.
So it was incredibly empowering to see people like that doing the news, you know, not being pigeonholed, just being a sports guy or the weather guy or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So that made a big difference. So if I can do that for y'all, I'm happy to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, outside of Ahmad, you,
yeah.
Jim Hill was like our local guy, you know.
Right.
I mean,
sure. Sure. Yeah.
So,
right.
You know what I mean? Just seeing him, I was just like, but I also didn't even know like it was possible to be like a career. I just like,
right.
Oh, okay. That's cool. But I didn't know how it worked.
Sure.
Me neither. Now, and now, like, obviously being in for about 3 years now, I'm trying to pay it forward as well. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And welcoming, you know, more, children of and teens and
sure
and showing like, hey, you can get paid for this, you know what I mean? Like
right.
don't
right.
put a ceiling on it. So
yeah absolutely.
All right, so we're gonna go on blast from the past. Tell me your relationship with reading as a kid.
Oh wow. I mean, it's the you know, That's why I write, because I read so I just read everything I could ever put my hands on. I don't think it was every Saturday, but there's a lot of Saturdays where I will walk up to the library, you know, 20-minute walk up the hill to the library on 18th Street, and just read books all afternoon, just find something or a magazine or something. That's what I did. I mean, I just read everything. I was a very shy kid. I had friends. I'm not saying I was, you know, friendless or anything like that. I had friends, but I was very introverted. I was very shy. And I got my enjoyment out of reading about other people and other things and other places and history and things like that. So yeah, I read newspapers, magazines, books, whatever I could get my hands on. So I was just really curious about the world. I wanted to learn as much about it as possible. And in those days, you know, and again, it's fine. It's how I grew up. I'm not like angry about it or anything. I mean, you just didn't watch TV for 9 hours or, yeah. You know, there were no computers. So, and there were four channels. So, you know, you watch TV for a while and then you turn it off and read a book or something. I mean, that was your entertainment really, or at least it was mine, primarily. So, and it was something you could do by yourself. You didn't need to have a group of people reading with you. Lonely, you could just grab a book.
Did you have a favorite sports biography or like magazine that you used to read? Like,
well, I mean, I Sports Illustrated when I was a kid, that was the first thing I ever had my name on, you know, subscribing to. So that was, and it came every Thursday, every Thursday afternoon. And so you would come home on Thursday and you would just sit down and read the Sports Illustrated, the whole magazine front to back, you know, and that was like a big thing in my day, you know. So, yeah, Sports Illustrated was a big thing that I would read all the time. In terms of biographies, I mean, you know, when you're a kid, you don't read like the real adult biographies. You read kind of like the cartoon version biographies, you know. Exactly. So I would read about, you know, great football players or great basketball players. But, you know, if you're asking me the best biography Thomas Hauser's book on Ali is incredible. It's an oral history. It's amazing. So if you ever wanted to read something like that, I just finished John Thompson's autobiography, like literally 2 days ago. Oh, wow. Did with Jesse Thompson. It's phenomenal. Jesse Washington, not Jesse Thompson. I have Thompson in the brain. Jesse Washington. It's really well done. Really well done.
Yeah, I used to read like a Kitty Jordan biography.
Always. Right. You know,
like,
yeah.
It wasn't like the real.
The G-rated version, right?
You know, so. Yeah. Yeah, when you get into the big boy books, they give right, all the right. details.
Yeah.
I remember the first book I got was the Jordan Rules.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And that was a book. I remember buying that because I said, well, when it comes out, I got to get it. So came out, I bought it, sat down and went, wow. I wasn't surprised by what was in it. I was surprised that people said it, you know, on the record.
Yeah. And then to see The Last Dance and then kind of put all of it together. Like,
right,
like,
right, right. Because I mean, I shouldn't say everybody. That's not true. Everybody didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Side of Michael. But everybody knew that Michael was incredibly competitive. And he was hard to play with, just like
most
like
guys.
Magic was hard to play with, right. And Bird was hard to play with, and Isaiah was hard to play with, you know, because they're very demanding. Mm-hmm. You know, they're great players in that era who are very demanding. So, the Jordan Rules was certainly a big, you know, it was a new type of sports book for sure. You know, in the same way that when John Feinstein wrote Season on the Brink about Bobby Knight, it was that kind of book.
Yeah.
You know, and you read it and were just like, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Somebody said, yeah, this happened. I'm telling you this happened, you know, which is unusual, unusual at the time, I should say.
Yeah, I feel like they're moving away from those kind of salacious type books and to the documentary style, like the Tiger documentary that we got.
Right.
Like things of that nature, because I feel like people's attention span isn't what it used to be in the 90s and 80s and all that. And it's like all the news that we get or information that we get, people can't wait to read the book. They have to see it in a movie form or something.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. You know, just because, again, with social media, people are a lot more distracted. It's a lot harder to get someone's attention and it's much, much harder to keep someone's attention. So
there you go. That part.
There's no question. It was a different time. No question. It was a different time.
All right. So what's your relationship with model planes and cars?
Well, just when I was growing up, that was the thing. It was a thing that I did a lot of. I don't know why I did it. I don't know how I got into it, but you know, I would make, you know, you get those model airplane kits and you have to paint them and glue them together and then put the sticker on just right. And I did a lot of those when I was a kid. And again, I know why, because it was something I could do by myself, you know? And I always kind of gravitated toward those types of things that I could do alone or with not much supervision.
Right.
And so, the puzzles, jigsaw puzzles and things like that, lots of World War II airplanes in that time were big, and, you know, because it hadn't been that long ago since World War II. And, you know, I guess it was Korean War. There wasn't too many Vietnam toys at that time because they were still in Vietnam at the time.
Yeah.
So it was mostly World War II classic American fighter planes and things like that. And boats, you know, submarines and things like that. It was a big thing. Again, back in those days, kids did a lot of things by themselves, and so toys kind of gravitated toward that. Here's something that can entertain a kid for a couple of hours. He doesn't need six other people to participate in.
I want to say hobbies went out the window around like 99. Seriously, because
I don't know if there's a specific year involved, but yeah.
Well, I'm just saying like the commercial push. Like I'm saying the commercial push because we got more technology shifting in.
Oh, well, sure. That because yeah, I mean, certainly. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, social media is a participation endeavor, right? Well, like everybody can get on Twitter with your Twitter world and you can just talk to each other. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And the same for Instagram and all the other ones, all the new ones, Clubhouse, same thing, all of it. This is all the same thing. It's here's something you can do with your friends. That's what Facebook was. Here's something you can do with your friend, you know? So that is certainly more, it's certainly more of a collective entertainment now than it was, when I was growing up, to be sure.
Yeah. But I will say this, though, for social media, like some of the videos that I see that go viral that I really like are like these Rube Goldberg machines or like those domino.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Setups that people have, like, which, you know, stuff that people used to do when they were kids.
Yeah.
There's still like a market for people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sure there's clubs and all kind of type of meetups and well.
Oh,
With the climate now, I mean, it's probably a little different. Probably be transitioning back. But before, definitely, because you mentioned model cars. I was building model cars. I missed the whole Snap-on situation.
I had crazy glue,
and crazy glue sometimes wasn't my friend because it would get stuck to my skin. And, I was trying to I remember my grandma, she was a housekeeper in Beverly Hills and I was a latchkey kid. So she would buy the model car for me and I would get this spray paint. I would put the mask on and I'm sitting it on a can and I'm spraying it. And that's how I learned how to kind of fix everything and swap the lights out and, put little people in there and try to make it as prop as possible.
Right.
But those were great hobbies to have. So having those experiences.
See, I'm old. I had Elmer's. That's what we had.
So I've actually, by the time Elmer's was almost out of there, we were using Elmer's for our hand and just picking at it because we were bored in class.
We used to do that too. Yeah. We used to get the thumbprint and pull it off. And we did that too.
So it ain't far. It lost art. It didn't go unused. Who have you been most proud of that you got a chance to mentor that has taken off?
I would say Tiffany Green. Tiffany is now at ESPN. She does play-by-play, and I'm very proud of her. She started at Bright House Media in Orlando covering high school sports there. So I met her at NABJ. Gosh, I want to say it was like 94 or 95. Maybe she was just getting started. And we hit it off, and she has blown up and she's doing great work. She's doing college football. She's doing men's and women's basketball. And wants to be a NFL play-by-play announcer, and I'm very proud of her because she did it the right way. She didn't take any shortcuts. She worked her ass off. She learned the business. She learned how to do things, in whether it's shooting a piece or editing a piece or producing, and then went in front of the camera. So she knew how to do that stuff. And again, worked her way up to now where she's at ESPN, and I'm real proud of her.
Nice. Well, shout outs to her. What are your views on journalism shifting from storytelling and profile pieces to unwinnable arguing or debates?
Not my thing.
Yeah, I understand that. Cause I don't, I mean, it's, I guess, consumable TV for whoever likes it.
Sure. I get it.
But I haven't really got involved in it because again, I don't think it's a right or wrong answer, and it's too many what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean,
I guess. Understand that when you have 6,000, literally have 6,000 channels, if you click on two people yelling at each other, you might stop and watch it for a minute or two to see what they're yelling at each other about. Right.
Right.
I get it. And it's okay, but it's just not for me. It's not what I do. It's never been what I do. And I don't feel comfortable doing it because it would be phony for me to do it.
Yeah.
And TV, I know this. I've been in TV for 25 years. I know enough to know that TV is the ultimate BS detector. So if you try to be something you're not, it will expose you in 30 seconds.
And that's the same thing about Twitter too, because you get immediate feedback.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. So just do what you do, you know? So, I mean, that, you know, candidly, that's one of the reasons why I think I'm not at ESPN anymore, because it went to that thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they wanted to do, get into. And that's what they wanted to emphasize. And I was like, I just want to cover the NBA like I've been doing for 9 years. And can I do that? Or 8 years, I guess it was. Right. I'd like to just keep doing that if that's okay. And they said, no.
So, hey, well, we love
you. They can do it.
We love you at the Athletic, David.
ESPN is kind of like what MTV, when they stopped playing music videos. It's like,
start showing ridiculousness about 72 times.
Yeah,
it's just
like they just beat away from stuff. Right,
like
right.
Bread and butter. It's like if it's not broke, don't fix it. Like,
I mean, please. I get that they, you know, when you get big, you're not, you know, you're competing against other entities. You're not just competing against other sports networks. So again, I get it. Like, they have to compete with entertainment shows and all the other stuff that's going on. I just like covering sports. That's what I like to do, you know? So I want to go somewhere. I want to be in a place where they'll just let me do that, which is why I love, you know, Turner so much, is that they never said, well, why don't you pick a fight with Charles? They never said that.
Right.
You know, what they said was, if you disagree with Charles, say, I disagree with you, which is a completely different thing. You know,
it's more of a respectable standpoint, too. Like, you know, the person's going to respect it versus you just batting down the idea.
Yeah. So that was complete. That's, they let me be me. And that's why I'll always love them. They never try to change me.
Yeah, that's great. Piggybacking off of the debate, right?
Yeah.
In your own personal eyes, you're OG. You got a chance to watch a lot of basketball.
Sure.
Who is your personal GOAT?
Oh, you mean basketball?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, again, I always preface this by the people I did not see.
Okay? Right.
I didn't see Wilt Chamberlain. I didn't see Bill Russell. Okay. And I didn't see Oscar Robertson live. I saw tape afterwards. The people that I talked to that did see them live say that they were as good as anybody who's ever played. So I can only tell you the people that I've seen.
With your own two eyes, yeah.
It's Jordan, and it's not especially close to me.
Yeah.
My opinion. Michael is the best player I've ever seen.
You had a front row seat. And when those debates normally happen, I normally think about it because, you know, I get people saying Bill Russell or Kareem. And, like, respectable to it. I'm not one of those type of young people to just say, oh, they played against such and such and they didn't matter or anything like that. No. I'm sure they were dominant at,
if it was easy to win 11 rings, somebody else would do it,
right?
You know what I mean?
It would be more champions, right?
Right, so, right.
And it's in a particular situation, I'm like looking at everything. My era starts Magic Bird, Isaiah, and then rookie Jordan, and then going into it, right?
Right.
And as I watched it, respect to the Showtime Lakers, you know, Boston. If they get Lynn Bias, they probably win more.
Totally different. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, yes, then you get then you move on to the Bulls, which was my prime of me actually understanding basketball.
Yeah.
It's one thing to see it and then to understand it and watch everything and consume it. Two three-peats. You know what I mean? And then you entered a couple teams. A lot of players didn't get a ring because of Mike. So
I mean, right. Not just about everybody.
But let me ask David this question, because you came up in the era of Kareem. You know, like you watched Kareem at UCLA and into Jordan, and now you're watching LeBron. And I think like those would probably be other than, you know, the Kobe stands and people who love Kobe.
Sure.
Those would be the only two guys who could really vie for the title, I think. How mm-hmm. where would you place them in the pantheon under Jordan if Jordan is the
goal? I mean, I think Kareem is, again, if you look at the whole body of work.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Like they literally changed the rules because of this guy. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, I mean, Kareem, as I always tell people, Kareem had one move. Think about this now. He had one move.
Right.
He didn't have a crossover, a drop step, a euro step, a fadeaway. I mean, he had a little bit of a fadeaway, but he had one shot. He had one thing that he did.
And got like 34,000 points off.
And he scored 37,000 points.
Oh, 37. See? Yeah.
Didn't stop it.
And they took out the dunk for him. They took out the dunk for him.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like he had one thing that he could do to score on a basketball court, and he did it more efficiently and more lethally than anybody else who's ever played the game. So I got to give Kareem respect, you know, and on top of, you know, three straight, it would have been four freshmen could have played, were eligible to play when in his day,
because
he couldn't play as a freshman. So three straight national championships at UCLA. I think they lost two games. And
so it was one. It was 73 and one because he got poked in the eye.
Yeah, well, the game against Houston against Elvin Hayes. Now, Elvin was great. Elvin mm-hmm. was number three all-time in scoring for a long time. Elvin's a great player. So they may have beaten him anyway. I'm not taking anything away from Elvin. But, yes, to your point, nobody – I mean, he lost two games.
Yeah.
He lost one game in college. You know, so he won three national championships. He won six MVPs. He won six NBA titles. I mean, come on. So certainly, if you want to say Kareem's the greatest of all time, I'm not going to argue with you.
Right.
That's a fair argument. You know,
I even put up the fight for him to be the logo, because I would love for him to be the logo. Just
I think it would be iconic with the hook. Everybody would know what it is and who it was. You know, I can understand that argument also, and I would have no problem with that. I think Jumpman would be the logical one, but I could, if you want to make a Kareem, fine. But I'd go with Jumpman if you're asking me.
Yeah. Right. I think with Jumpman being on the jerseys now, I'm okay with it not being the Jumpman.
Right. That's fair. Right, that's fair. Right.
Which players were portrayed poorly in the media when they were actually good dudes? When you were covering.
Oh, well,
I said,
and this is not for me. I'm mm-hmm. paraphrasing somebody else who knew Charles Barkley very well. And what he would always say is, a lot of guys in the NBA are assholes who want you to think they're good guys. Charles Barkley is a good guy who wants you to think he's an asshole. And that's actually very true. That's actually very true. Charles was the best that I've dealt with in 30 years, the best. He's been the best guy for 30 years in terms of, I've never seen somebody, and Charles was great. I don't think people understand how great Charles Barkley was as a player. He was a great player.
He wasn't so just some I okay only found guy. Out about him collecting trading cards. And then when I was of age to like actually go back and watch him in Philly and before the Phoenix stuff.
Right.
He's 6'4", 280-something, 290 pounds, doing what he's doing, outplaying everybody. And then the MVP year.
Right.
I'm just like, you know, for everybody to, you know, make jokes about the ring stuff, man, he was a bad dude.
Well, Charles was on the, you know, Patrick and Malone, Stockton, Reggie Miller. Like I can list name them all. Jordan. Stopped them all.
Yeah, stopped them all.
Wasn't the only one.
Right.
All of them got the Heisman from MJ. You know what I'm saying? So, so Charles was a great player, and of great players, there's lots of guys that are good guys. You know, hundreds of guys I've covered over the years that are good guys. Very few of them were great players. Charles was a superstar who never big-timed anybody. I've never seen him big-time anyone. And as I've said this a lot over the years, I've been in bars and restaurants with Chuck dozens of times in my life. You know what I'm saying? And I've never seen him say no. Somebody wants a picture, an mm-hmm. autograph. And not only, he's not one of these guys, all right, give me, get up, now go away. No, he wants, what's your name? Where you from? Why are you here? You know, he picks up the tab almost all the time. No, it doesn't matter how much it is. He picks up the tab in the bar. And I'm talking about the whole bar. I'm not talking about the guys he's drinking with. He'll just say, give me the check. I've seen him do it. Now, I'm not guessing. Okay. Yeah. Chuck is one of the best guys I've ever dealt with.
I love to hear that because I was living in Phoenix and I would see him a lot. But I just never like, I don't never like to bother anybody, but like, he's probably one of the dudes that I want to meet.
I'll tell you a story about that. So when they played the Bulls in the finals and they lost game 6, mm-hmm. so it's over. So me and Wilbon and a couple of guys, we go out to the spot in Phoenix to get something to eat because the game ended. It was still early in Phoenix, right? Because it was a primetime start. So it was like 8:30. Mm-hmm. Let's get something to eat. So we go to a restaurant and we see Chuck pull up in his car. And he pulls up and I don't think nobody had like, he just pulled up and he saw us and he walked over. He walked over to a bunch of reporters. Think about this. He just lost the finals. He walked over to a bunch of reporters. Now he knew us, but still he was like, we're like, are you all right? You good? He's like, man, I'm just so depressed, blah, blah, blah. And he was literally like, can I sit with y'all? And we're like, of course you can sit with
y'all. Right. What you mean? Exactly.
So he sits and we eat and we talk and we, you know, he's making jokes and that's just the kind of guy he is, you know, like, he's a people person.
Yeah. I mean, you got to love those type of people. I read something on him about him meeting a friend. And like, I guess the guy used to be telling, like, you know, Charles Barkley is my friend.
Yeah.
And he ended up attending this funeral. But like,
yeah,
they built this guy
in Iowa, I think.
It was in Iowa.
Doctor
that,
or something.
Man, that was super touching.
Charles knows so many random people that he just met and literally met in a bar somewhere. And he gives them his number and they call him and they become friends. There's dozens of people like that in his life that I've never, it's like, oh, this is my buddy from San Antonio. Oh, this is my buddy from Minneapolis. You know, like he's got.
Yeah, just random people.
Like
that's love,
not
though.
Famous people. They're just, oh, that's my, oh, Charles. Yeah, I've known Charles for 15 years. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great, man. Yeah. That's
great. I don't know how many friends he has in San Antonio.
Well, that's
Hey, I think he was just saying that.
I know.
Yeah. Do you play? My friend actually pretty much sent this to me to ask you.
Yes.
Do you play 2K to hear yourself talk?
No. My kids play 2K, and they always are like, well, Dad, you know, I listened to you for a while, and then, you know, it was kind of interesting. But they didn't, I get it. I'm their dad. I'm not David Aldridge. You know what I mean? So they're not like, whatever enjoyment they get, it's not because they see me in the game. It's because they're playing the game. So they're cool about it, you know. But no, I don't. If I play the game, I just play the game. I'm not very good at it. I don't take enough time to get good at it. So
yeah, I mean, I think I've finally quit 2K. I'm actually featured in the latest game too.
Oh, good, that's
on
great.
Twitter. So yeah, man, we have the Athletic and 2K together. How did that come about? Like, how did they approach you to be in 2K?
That was all Kevin Harlan. Kevin Harlan is the guy. So I've told him. I said, thank you for helping putting my children to school. So Harlan, this was like 2014, 2015. So we're at doing some game somewhere. And I'm doing it with Harlan and Reggie. And Harlan is the same as he is on the air. He's the same off the air. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Great. Oh. So Harlan says, hey, have you ever done a video game? And I was like, you mean like be in one? And he's like, yeah, that would be great. You know, it's fun. I do it. I do this 2K game. It's fantastic. You should get into it. And I'm like, well, I'd love to. I mean, I guess they've never asked me to. And he's like, oh, I know the guy. Oh, I should, I'll give him your number and he'll call you. And that's what happened.
That's crazy. Shouts to Kevin Harlan. I seen one clip of him.
Kevin Harlan's the guy. He's the guy who did it.
I seen one viral clip of him post, you know, right now during COVID time where he's in his room and he was like knocking out like some voice stuff.
Yeah.
And man, I was like, wow. You know what I mean? Just to even get, because like that's, people don't even understand. Even when you're doing podcasting, you have to find that type of energy.
Right.
Especially if you go podcast to podcast, it's like almost exercising. Right. And then like, okay, I really didn't want to exercise. And now you have to find that type of spark again. And
exactly. Like, No, Kevin, it was always, whenever I had a game with Kevin, I knew, okay, I'll be fine. I'll be fine tonight. Because Kevin's so enthusiastic that you can't help but become enthusiastic with him. You know what I mean? So like you want to match his energy when you're doing the interviews and stuff. So, and Kevin's such a good guy. It was a joy doing games with him, just a joy. And I was fortunate enough to do some tournament games with him too, you know, a couple of times. And he's the work ethic is unbelievable. He works so hard. And then I always say, how can you do, like, I get it. Like, if you want to do, like, he does NBA and then he does NFL, he does the Monday night game, but then he'll do like college basketball and college football on the weekends. And I'm like, how do you keep it all straight in your head?
Just going or mix it up. I mean, I fumbled over some stuff too.
Amazing. Guys like him and like Joe Buck, like these multi-sport announcers, even Al Michaels and Bob Collins, of course.
That's why they're as great as they are, because they can do everything.
They're incredible. And shout out to your Kevin Harlan impression right there. Pretty
easy to do Harlan. That doesn't take any particular skill. You just have to be loud and enthusiastic. So,
out of all the places and jobs that you've had, what has been your favorite?
Wow. Well, I mean, I loved all the jobs. I mean, you mean as an adult or you mean when I was a kid?
I mean, period. If you like those jobs better than the ones you've had as an adult.
I really enjoyed all the places I've been. I mean, I worked at the Washington Post. I loved that. It was great. Worked at ESPN. I didn't love it, but it helped me a lot. I'm not good. I learned television at ESPN. I love working at Turner. I love working in, I worked at the Philly Inquirer for 3 years. I love working there. And I really love working at the Athletic. So all of those jobs have been wonderful in their own way. I was actually, you know, one of my favorite jobs was I was an usher at a theater, not a movie theater, but like for plays and stuff in DC. My brother, God rest his soul, got me the job. And I really liked that job. I had a lot of fun. I really did. It was a totally different world than what I had ever been exposed to growing up in DC. We didn't go to the theater. You know what I mean? Like that wasn't something we did. We barely went to the movies. You know what I mean? So I got to see like Jack Lemmon and people like that in plays and Kevin Spacey when he was young and people like that and Rita Moreno. And, you know, I got to see Cats and stuff I would never have gone to see otherwise.
Voluntarily,
you know what I mean? So that was a lot of fun. I got to see James Earl Jones in Master Harold and the Boys, which was unbelievable. He was incredible in that play. I got to see Lena Horne. She had a one-woman show before she passed away. So, I mean, I got to see a lot of really cool stuff. So that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that job.
Nice. On that note, what has been your favorite sporting event to either attend or cover?
I would say the Dream Team. That was the one time I actually went into my boss's office and said, I'm covering this. Don't put anybody else on this. I'm covering this. And because I wanted to be there because I knew how big it was going to be. And it lived up to it. Like, how many times does something actually live up to the hype? And it did. It did. They were that good. They were that compelling. And I was there for pretty much everything that they did as a team, you know, starting here in the States in San Diego and going up to Portland and then going over for the Olympics. It was amazing watching them play. It was I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen like it. Literally, they weren't playing. There was no opponent. They were just playing. The game of basketball was their opponent. Let's see how good five guys on the court can be at one time. And they were that good. I tell people all the time, the stat that I will remember to the day I die is Chris Mullin shot 75% on threes in the
That's like unheard of, yo.
75% on threes.
Yeah, that's unreal.
That's how good they were. That's how good they were. He was like the sixth option. And every time he caught the ball, it was a bucket. Every time. Yeah. That they were amazing. They were incredible.
And so I know you was in the you was in the building, right? For the infamous scrimmage.
I was not. But there was no press in the, that was not a public practice. Was not a public practice. See, Wilbon big time me that one time. He's like, because my boss said, okay, I can't send both of you to everything, but so you guys got to pick and choose which ones you want. And so I had been covering them the whole summer. Portland, started in San Diego, Portland. So that was like 5 weeks. And then they went overseas for a couple of exhibitions. So Wilbon, of course, he's very smart, Wilbon. He said, I'll handle them. The practice. I had forgotten that that's when they were in Monte Carlo. Wilbon! So Wilbon got to spend a week in Monte Carlo with them gambling every night.
Oh, wow. 4 in the morning. That's a good finesse, man.
That was good. I had to give him props on that. I was like, all right. You got the youngster. Good. You got me. Okay.
All right. Well, we got one question that we ask our guests. What advice would you give your 18-year-old self?
Oh, I would tell my 18-year-old self, you're a lot smarter and better at what you want to do than you think you are. You shouldn't be so hard on yourself. And don't worry, girls are going to really come to appreciate you very soon.
Great advice.
Yeah.
I love it. For our young listeners, please pay attention to that for sure.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, DA, man. This has been amazing. A dream come true, honestly. I know every time we get to pod together, I get hyped. I text my uncles and my friends back at home. Y'all seen me on the pod with David Aldridge. Yeah. You like my uncle.
I am now in this phase of my life where I'm everybody's uncle, which is fine. It's okay.
Yeah. One time we recorded, you pulled up, you was like, I'm Uncle D. Like, I'm like, all right, you got it. You know what I'm saying? So it's love, man.
That's okay. That's fine. That's a good thing to be. So I appreciate it, guys. Thank you. And I appreciate you having me. And look, continued success and stay safe. Wear your mask. You know the drill.
Yep. And you drink your water. You know what I mean?
I'm drinking my water. Yes. There you go. Flavored water. Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you so much, Dave.
You're very welcome. Take care, man.
Growing up the same wins the game.
Yo, Rob.
Yo, Amin.
What's the biggest complaint I always have whenever we record these podcasts?
Besides Jerv being too sleepy, I think it's you forget to name a couple of things. You always want to talk about some extra stuff.
Oh, man. It's the worst feeling in the world. When we get done and we say cut and I'm sending the files to Rob and I say, shit, I forgot we were going to talk about this topic or that topic. Well, guess what? We're not going to have those problems anymore. If you go ahead and download the Stereo app, that's right. Go to stereo.com/DarthAmin and make sure you are linked and subscribe to us. And we're going to talk about all of the different things that I always forget about. This is a great app. Every time you guys are listening to this pod, you say, oh, I wish I could chime in. But you're listening to a pod, you can never chime in. It's pre-recorded. Guess what? With Stereo, you're able to have your voice heard. You can ask real-time questions about either the pod episode we recorded or whatever we're talking about at the time. It's great. It's a forum for you to listen to your favorite podcasters. That'll be me and yours truly, all at the Count the Things Network. And we're going to be out here. We're going to do this regularly, multiple times a week. Just hop on Stereo, download the app, subscribe, follow Darth the Mean, follow Talk Hoops, follow Trayvon, follow Big Waz, all of us. You know who we are. You search for us on the Stereo app. You will find us and subscribe to us and be a part of these conversations real time. Have the ability to ask the questions that you want to ask. Stop us when we're on some bullshit, as we are frequently. And of course, catch some content that goes above and beyond what you listen to in the podcast you already love. Again, that is the Stereo app. And you can follow me, stereo.com/DarthAmin. You can look up everybody else by their handles. Their handles are all the same as what we have on social media. You can join us multiple times a week. I love Stereo. I'm on the app talking all the time. Follow me and get notified every time I go live.